I wonder today if the words to that last song that we just sang, if you believe that yourself, that grace flows down and it covers me, that if you're a Christian today, you have been born again by the Spirit of Christ. You have been made alive, as the Bible says, that you have been born again and you are a Christian. Do you know that? That His grace flows down and it covers you. Past couple of weeks, we have been talking about our identity in Christ. And we're going to continue that today out of the book of Romans chapter 8. I do have the verses here, and we'll look at those in just a minute. But we're going to look at Romans chapter 8, and we're going to be kind of in different places from there. But what is most important about us as Christians is the fact that we get who we are in Christ, that we get our identity, because we can beat one another over the head with "you're not doing enough," or "I'm not doing enough," or we feel so down on ourselves and we say, "I'm not this and I'm not like that person, and this person has it so much better than me." But the thing that needs to be rooted deeply within the foundation of our lives is who we are in Christ. And I pray that today God would show us who we are. That He would give us an intimate picture, each one of us in here who knows the name of Jesus Christ, who believes that Christ died for their sins, that you would be strengthened in your inner spirit to know just how much you are loved today. John Bunyan, who was a Christian back in the 1600s, wrote a book called Pilgrim's Progress, which many say is the second best-selling book of all time, second only to the Bible. In Pilgrim's Progress, he uses this illustration and says that every Christian possesses a mirror. And on one side of that mirror is the mirrored glass that we all look into. And when we look into that mirrored glass, a lot of times we see our blemishes, our warts, and our wrinkles, and all of our imperfections. But on the other side of that mirror is the picture of God's spotless Son. And Bunyan said, "Which side of the mirror, when God looks at us, do you think He's looking at? Do you think He's seeing all of our imperfections? Do you think He's seeing all of our flaws? Do you think He's seeing everything that's wrong with us? Or do you think that He sees His Son?" Well, a lot of us would say, "I think He sees all of my flaws and my imperfections. That's why I feel condemned all the time. That's why I feel like I can't even lift my head. That's why I just barely got here this morning, because I had to drag myself out of bed saying, 'You just need to go to church today.' I didn't want to be here, but I just felt like I needed to be here." But the truth is we're going to look at this passage today in Romans chapter 8. When God sees us positionally, if you are in Christ, He sees His perfect, spotless Son. And you are accepted in Him and because of Him. Let's pray together. Lord, I just ask that in this time You would give me Your grace. Lord, I pray that You would give me supernatural power to convey this message. Because, Lord, I know that if Your Holy Spirit is not our teacher today, Lord, I would have fallen short of my task. So Lord, come upon me, I pray. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit, Lord, and help me to preach these truths in such a way that someone's life who is struggling today would be revived, that they would feel Your love, that they would know Your love today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. My first point is this, out of Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Is this: Jesus Christ is your life. That's what we sang about. Hallelujah. All I have is Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus is my life. Is that true? Let's look at Romans verses 1 through 4. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Do you know, Christian, today, you are not condemned? Do you know that you are loved with a perfect love? Do you know today that God loves you as much as He loved His own Son? Can you say that's your experience today? I bet if I took a poll, we'd probably have more people in this room would say, I don't think God loves me as much as He loves His Son. I think God loves me some days when I do well. But on the days when I mess up, I think God, you know, I think He's, I don't think He loves me. I don't think He likes me very much. I think overall, over the course of my life, I think God tolerates me. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says this: there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And then Paul goes on and gives this kind of legal explanation of what happened and why you are no longer condemned because of Christ. He says this: for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Before Christ came, the Jews had the Ten Commandments. They had God's moral law, and they tried to keep those by faith, and they all fell short. And the truth is today, if you and I looked at our own lives, none of us have ever kept God's laws perfectly. We have none of us kept the Ten Commandments perfectly. We don't, we won't, we never will, we never have. And it says that the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ from the law of sin and death. Because you know what the law does? What God's law does? It serves as a mirror. The law of God, the Ten Commandments, serves as a mirror to show you your sin. It serves as a mirror to show you that you have committed adultery in your heart. It shows you that you have stolen. It shows you that you have lied. It shows you that you have had other gods before the one and true living God. But what the law cannot do is it cannot change your heart. The law throughout the Old Testament time could never change anyone's heart. And so Paul is saying now, because of Christ, because Christ has come, because Christ perfectly did fulfill the law, He always did what His Heavenly Father wanted Him to do, because Jesus, I'm sorry, good night, edit that one out, because Jesus perfectly kept God's law. If we are in Him, we are perfect. It says this: for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. That in Christ you are dead today. Did you know that? You are a dead person. You're going to get up out of here, you're going to walk to your car, and you're going to drive home a dead person. How do you know that? Well, look at what it says. It says, for God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. Our flesh, we want to keep God's law. We can't keep God's law perfectly. God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. That Jesus, when He's hanging on the cross and He's perfect, He's never sinned against God ever. Yet when He is hanging on the cross, Jesus became a sin offering for us. All of your sin was placed upon Jesus. All of your sin was placed on Jesus on the cross. God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. That means that God made a pronouncement against sin on the cross. That God takes sin very seriously. God is holy. He is perfect. And He had to condemn sin. And for those who don't know Jesus Christ and want nothing to do with Jesus Christ and you reject Him for the rest of your life, you will have to confront God with your own sins and you will not stand. You will not stand. But those who are in Christ, who have given their lives to Jesus Christ, God has already condemned your sin on His Son on the cross. You will never bear your sin anymore. That's why it says in verse 1, there is now therefore no condemnation. You will never be condemned again for the sins that you have committed in your past, the sins that you will commit today, the sins that you will commit in your future. You will never be condemned for those things. Why? Because they were condemned in His Son. In order, it says, verse 4, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Jesus did for you what you could never do yourself, Christian. He, in that moment, fulfilled the righteous requirement of the law in you, because you couldn't do it for yourself. Now, I want to take you to a couple of different places. You can write these down. Don't go there. We're going to be kind of quick. Paul says this, and this is Paul. It's not Jesus saying it. It's Paul. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Paul is saying in this verse, and I'm going to show you in another place just a minute, when Jesus died on the cross, Paul died on the cross. And not only when Jesus died on the cross, did Paul die on the cross, Bo died on the cross. Alicia died on the cross. Any of you in this room, that you positionally, in the eyes of God, you died when Jesus died. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. I'm dead. I am a dead person spiritually. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Now listen to this. Colossians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Paul says very much the same thing in a very different way. He says this, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ died on the cross, you died. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And it says this in verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Christ is your life today. Hallelujah. All I have is Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus is my life. If you're a Christian today, when John Bunyan said that God, that we each of us have this mirror and we see our blemishes, God looks down and He sees His perfect Son, because you are dead. You are dead. The old you, your old life, that old past that haunts you still to this day, and that your conscience and the devil brings up to you and says, golly, how despicable. Not only the bad things that you did in your old life, but the bad things that you do in your present life. And you're going to sit here and tell me that when God sees me, he sees his perfect son. That's what I'm telling you. That you are not condemned because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. You died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Brian Chappell, who wrote a book called Holiness by Grace that I'm currently reading, I've mentioned it before, I'd highly recommend it. He says this, Paul says that we should perceive ourselves as crucified, Galatians 2:20. Though we move about and strive to achieve certain levels of significance and sanctity by our own energies, we should understand that we are united with Christ in his death. We have been united with Jesus Christ at his death. Paul means even more that we should lovingly draw near to the heart of God and to the one who died on our behalf. And then he says this, our union with Christ in his crucifixion means that we were with him on the cross. He took our identity, including all of our sin, in himself on the cross. I too hang there with him. Looking through his eyes, the soldiers gather beneath me to gamble for my clothes. My nakedness is exposed. The travelers on the road mock my name. My mother weeps for me. My disciples flee. The last gasps of agony are upon my lips. My blood pools on the ground, and the life that ebbs away is mine. I am dead, crucified with Christ. That's our identity. In Christ, your old life died. And you may say to me today, have you seen my past 6 weeks? Have you seen my past 25 years? It's not dead. It still is very much alive, and it's blowing through my life, and it's blowing through my relationships, and it's wrecking everything, and I feel so ashamed of who I am. It's not dead, Bo. If your feelings dictate your Christianity, you're never going to make it very far. If your feelings rise above the level of what this book says about you, you're always going to despair. Or you're going to feel good about yourself based upon how well you're doing that day, or that week, or that hour, or that minute. This has to be everything to you. When I interviewed as pastor, Alicia and I drove down on a Saturday morning, and talked with the search committee, and I made a point during the interview process, and I held up my Bible and I said, "This book has kept me alive." That does not mean that I tried to commit suicide or was ever suicidal. I wasn't. I know some people are. I was never suicidal. But what I am saying is, if I allowed my feelings to dictate my Christianity, I would have quit a long time ago. I would have given up. I would have thrown this book in the trash, and I would have gone off and just lived a life of futility. But it is because this book is my life. It is because the God of this book is my life. And I fed upon it and searched through it and dug through it like searching for diamonds and life, that it kept me alive. It kept me believing. So when I tell you and encourage you to read your Bible in whatever form it is, it's not just so that you can do some spiritual exercise. It's so that you can have life. It's so that you can be sustained spiritually. It's not merely just, oh, pastor told me to read my crazy Bible. I hadn't read it in 3 months. Pick it up and read it. Pick it up somewhere and read. Don't start in the book of Numbers. Trust me on that one. But listen, Jesus Christ is your life. When God sees you today, He sees you in Christ as being resurrected to new life. Perfect, spotless. Next, I say this. Because of Jesus Christ, nothing can separate you from God's love. Because of Jesus Christ, nothing can separate you from God's love. Let's look at verses 31 and following. It says this, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is it to condemn? Jesus Christ is the one who died, more than that, who was raised." Now, let me stop right there. Go back just for a second. Paul asked these questions. And he says, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is it to condemn? There's a lot of people that can condemn you. There are a lot of voices in your head that can condemn you. There are a lot of spiritual powers in this world that can condemn you and show you the mirror of your life and say, see all this imperfection in you? You're not a Christian. That's ridiculous. You're certainly not a Christian by the way you're acting. There's no way you're a Christian. There are a lot of people, there are a lot of forces, there are a lot of voices in our head, and if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes we ourselves condemn ourselves. There's a lot of people, but look how Paul answers these questions. Who shall bring a charge against any of God's elect? It is God who justifies. God's opinion is most important about you, not what anybody else, including yourself, says about you. It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. He is God's Son. More than that, who was raised? Okay, next. Who shall separate us from the love of God, from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. In all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Stop right there. Cancer can make you feel like God doesn't love you. Lou Gehrig's disease, a disease that can slowly eat away at your life and wind up paralyzing all of your body parts and suffocating you to death, can make you feel like God doesn't love me. Can make you feel that way. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, people coming against you, or famine or nakedness or danger or the sword, maybe the sword of someone's mouth, who just again and again and again over the years shreds you apart, lies about you, slanders you in front of others, tells all types of ungodly things about you of which you are innocent from. A lot of people can do that, unfortunately. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. That's why I said, if you base your feelings on how you're doing in your Christianity, or if you base your feelings on whether or not God loves you, you're never going to make it very far. You've got to learn to live on the Word of God. You've got to learn to live on what God has to say to you and about you through His Word, not based upon your experience. Okay, John, if we can continue on. Paul finishes by saying this, "For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor," get this, "anything else in all of creation," all of your current addictions to so many different things, all the things in this life that we give our attention to more than we give to God, nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you know that today? Do you know that in your current slavery to something, that doesn't separate you from God's love? I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor the greatest circumstances in our life, nor the worst circumstances of our life, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing means nothing. Do you know why the gospel is called the good news? Because that is good news. That is good news. That in Christ you are dead, and the life you now live, you live by faith in the Son of God who loved you and gave Himself for you. That with all of your problems today, with all of your temptations, with all of your failures, with all of the ways that you continue to make a mess of your life, doesn't separate you from God's love. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. We condemn ourselves. Other people condemn us. The devil tries to condemn us and show us you're not much of a Christian. You need to tell the devil when he comes to you like that, there is now no condemnation over my life. Because when Christ died, I died. When He hung on the cross, I was there with Him. And I died then. Therefore, my sin was paid for right there and on the cross. I don't bear it anymore. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin not in part, but
what?
Was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. Do you know it? Do you know it today? This knowledge should cause you to worship God in freedom with all of your current problems, with all of your current sins. You should come to Him freely and say, God, You know it all. I died with Jesus on the cross. My old life is dead. Yeah, it still rumbles around in my life and it comes out of me. Death comes out of me. But God, it's not who I am anymore. On the basis of Your Word, therefore, Lord, I bring these fresh sins to You. You are no longer alive based upon your sins. You and your old self is dead. You live to Christ. You live to Christ alone. And I close with this. when I was in seminary several years ago, I was struggling with some major sins in my life. Major stuff. And I was doing Bible study, of all things, and was doing this Bible study, and in Romans 6, verse 11, it says this, "Consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." And one of the things that this Bible study said was to look in a dictionary and look for all the words that were synonyms for consider. Reckon yourselves dead to sin. You know, think of yourselves dead to sin. And I had a list of probably 10 or 12 items. I was listening to a sermon the other day that was talking about our unity with Christ, and that Christ is now our life, and that we are in the process of being made more and more like Jesus Christ. And at the same time, I was thinking of that Bible study, and I thought, man, that was a waste of time. Because it was years before I got out of that stuff. It was a long time, and I honestly today, I'm not completely over it. It still rears its ugly head, and I have to fight it, and God's given me the grace to fight it. But I'll tell you this, as I'm thinking about, wow, that was such a waste of time doing that Bible study, reckon yourselves to dead in Jesus Christ, you know, reckon yourselves to dead to sin and alive to Jesus Christ. And it's like the Holy Spirit just spoke to me, and he said, "But Bo, it happened, didn't it? You got victory over that, didn't you? If you categorize your Christianity by all the sin that's in your life, you'll wind up defeated. But if you can get into the foundation of your life, that Christ is your life, that He's living in your life, yeah, He's dealing with some sins and bringing some things up to you that need to be dealt with, but because He is victorious over the grave, He has promised He is going to deal with those things. Don't look at your life today and say, this is all there is. You have to look at your life in Christianity and in Christ over the long haul. What's He doing today? What does He want to do today? Do you know Him today? Because that's where it starts. If Christ is not in your life, if you've never given Him your life, these promises are not for you. They are for you because He's calling you to Himself. And He is saying, come to Me. I will be more than you ever imagined. I will bless you immeasurably. You will never be condemned. And I ask you today, is He calling you to Himself? You just need prayer about an issue. You want to pray by yourself. This is our time of invitation. Steve, you want to come? We're going to sing Grace Flows Down again. And I want you to think about these words. You know. And the Bible tells us this. Actually, in Romans chapter 8, it says the Spirit witnesses with our spirit whether or not we are children of God. You know that you are a child of God today. And if you know that, you need to meditate on these words. Grace flows down and it covers me.